Foodie Films is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. Hey there, foodie fans, and welcome back to another episode of Foodie Films. Of course, this is your host, your chef de cinema cuisine, Kyle Reinfried. What's going on? What's happening? How are you? What have you been up to? Are you enjoying this lovely autumn we're having? You know, the 90-degree weather day, then the next day it's 58 degrees? I shouldn't say we. That's, you know, New Jersey. The collective we. The Queens we? No, we're not part of a royal monarchy of sorts. We're the United States of America. Well, hopefully we've got listeners outside of the United States of America. This is a podcast for everybody. We're all foodies. We should all be foodies. So yeah, what's going on? You guys getting ready for Halloween? What are you going to wear? I'm trying to think of the costume I'm thinking of right now is the chef from Wet Hot American Summer. Because, well, hey, it's food related, so trying to have some fun with that. And then he's got a beard. I've got a beard. I like being as true to my costume, to my character, as I can be. So I kind of pigeonhole myself on that one. But, you know, nonetheless, I love Halloween. I love dressing up. I love candy. You guys remember that special from last year that I did my first solo episode? That was, well, go back and re-listen to it. Maybe it aged well. Maybe it didn't age well at all. Who knows? I'll have to go back and listen to it. Anyway, we've got a fun one today, a silly one, a delightful one. Delightful. Oh God, why am I blanking on his name right now? How I Met Your Mother. We'll cover him in 5-year engagement. Jason Segel. There we go. As Jason Segel says, delightful. It's a delightful movie we're covering, and it's a delightful guest I have on, Joe Tu of the Cage Club Podcast Network. So many podcasts he's a part of. Before we get into it, guys, I just want to remind you, brush your teeth. Yes, I'm reminding you to brush your teeth. I went to the dentist today. I am lucky I did not have a cavity, but I haven't visited the dentist in quite some time. And that's no good. Well, I had a lot of plaque buildup. I'm sure this is all stuff you guys really want to hear. My plaque buildup. But nonetheless, go to the dentist, especially after Halloween, Valentine's Day, Easter, all those candy holidays. But without further ado, here I go with Joe Tu. Adieu, Joe Tu. There we go. Rhymes. Joe Tu, to be specific. Thank you for being here on Foodie Films. What's happening?
Thanks for having me, man. I've been excited to come join at some point, so
I'm glad
to be here.
Joe Tu, let's just explain, I mean, the Joe versus Joe Tu. Give your little history of the, you know, the Cage Club, network family that you're a part of and how you came to be and all that.
Well, Joey had hit me up one time. They had just finished, like, the original Cage Club.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about how I really wanted him to watch We Are Your Friends, the Zac Efron DJ movie. I find to be an incredible work of art, and I was telling him he must watch this movie immediately, and we were just, you know, just bullshitting, and then he was like, hey, you want to talk about Zeph, like, in a podcast, because they just finished Cage Club stuff. I was like, yeah, sure. So we were doing the first episode of Zach Attack, and he said, I'm Joey Lewandowski, and I said, I'm Joe Tu.
There we go.
And
I was
he
born.
just and he took it from T-O-O, which is what I had initially said, to, you know,
Oh, a Joe as
T-W-O.
well.
Yes, I was saying I'm Joe as
Ah.
well, and then we just stuck with Joe too, because I think that works, so.
Yeah, I like it's a good like kind of nickname. I mean, he is Joey, so you could have just been Joe.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's what I know you as now. Like, I mean,
It works fine, man.
it works. You
Yeah.
guys have, I mean, between I've been, we get the monthly report. It seems like Too Fast to Forever. I always want to say Too Fast,
Yeah.
Too Furious. Too Fast to Forever is killing it. You guys are, I mean, just enjoying every single lap of those movies of the Fast and Furious franchise.
Yeah, so Kyle was on. Joey and I do a podcast, Too Fast, Too Forever, where we watch each Fast and the Furious movie in a row, cyclically, over and over again as a lap. And I love it. I think it's a good time. You were on. Brian's been on. We have Kara on from Wistful Thinking this lap. You know, she's never seen them before. But yeah, that's what we mainly focus on, and it's been a blast. Like, people seem to like it. We get, you know, some emails and stuff, so it's cool.
That's awesome. I want to just read out right now briefly your profile. What would this be called? On like on the Cage Club Podcast Network, we each had to kind of
Oh.
write a little bio of ourselves.
Yes. I think so the deal was for these, I think that I wrote most of Joey's and definitely Mike Manzi's.
Okay.
And I wrote like a rough outline of mine, and I think Joey like filled in like a lot more of the stuff. But yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so Joe 2 prefers life in a shroud of semi-anonymity, anonymity, there we go, to
Yeah.
hide his debaucherous lifestyle from the world, or at least to make it a bit more difficult to find out who he truly is. When not abusing airline mile systems to fund nearly cost-free ventures around the US to get beer, or to nearly cost-free ventures around the world to drink beer.
True.
So that's the big part I wanted. I will finish it though. That's the big part I wanted to chime in on. But Joe is likely watching a Lifetime movie or telling you that you should watch more Lifetime movies.
True.
One of the internet's foremost thought leaders on all things Zac Efron. Joe is Jack Daniel's bottom bitch and would rather be barbecuing. A candy gremlin. His favorite holiday is the day after Valentine's Day. Shout out Rachel.
Yes.
That was a hard journey for me. I'm not much of a public speaker, so that's great that I have a podcast. But there's some key things in there. I mean, let's just talk about all of it, but I
It's
mean,
it focuses around food, right?
it is a very food-centric bio. So what's your journey of food? When did food become more than just something I like to ask people, more than just like, sitting down with your family? When did you go like, oh my God, these are my favorite things, and let's talk about traveling for beer and all that?
Okay. For me, like, my parents, like, we grew up eating a ton of Italian food. So it wasn't like super adventurous. I mean, like, my mom ate some different things. My dad's pretty like, you know, sh strict diet of like meat, potatoes, and pasta type things. And I think that when I was maybe like a sophomore or something in high school, I had spent a summer away at Brown University. They did like a summer program, so you could go there and spend the whole summer there. And like when I was a kid, I would try to like leave for as much of the summer as possible every summer.
Okay.
That was like always my goal. And I remember like when I was there, we were there for, you know, 2 months. So I would be with like all of these kids from other places, and they'd be like, "Yo, we're like, you know, we had like dining, like, you know, the not normal dining package for the school, but like there's also like restaurants and stuff around." And they would always be like, "Hey, do you want to like go eat with us? Like, we're going to get Indian food." And like, I wouldn't have eaten Indian food before,
Sure.
but like I didn't want to be left out, right? And I was like a, you know, 14, 15 kind of year old kid. So I would be like, "Yeah, sure, I'll go get Indian food," but like have no fucking idea what was there, but like just to not be left out. And that's when like I started trying a bunch of crazy new things, 'cause like all of these kids, you know, were like coming from more food, like foodie type places, you know, like they were growing up in California, New York, and like in Pittsburgh where I grew up, like we didn't have, like, at least I wasn't looking for like nice food places to eat at the time. So when I came back, I was like eyes opened, you know, and like I would be like craving different things. Then I would keep traveling in the summers and like spent a summer in Japan. So I was eating a ton of Japanese food there. And like,
oh,
then
that's
that's
awesome. Where'd you go to in Japan? Just all over?
Yeah, all over, mostly in Tokyo, like in all the, you know, surrounding neighborhoods. No, I did not Tokyo drift, but I saw tons of cool cars when I was there.
Okay.
But yeah, so like that was, I think that's when like I started to click with food. Then I would come home and I'd start craving stuff like weird Japanese foods that I wasn't getting at home. And like, you know, I would find like an Asian market, start buying some stuff. And then eventually when like I moved and I'm here with Rachel, like we cook a ton. So we try a bunch of things, cook a ton now. But yeah, I think it was just like, it was the want to not be left out in social occasions that led me to find like a great love of interesting foods.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, that's how it is for a lot of people. They, you know, if they're not necessarily, you know, my parents, I mean, my mom definitely really didn't cook much outside of Italian or just your standard American dishes. But, you know, but, you know, sure, we would get some takeout, but never anything crazy, you know, like, I mean, Chinese food. But it's like, again, that's even like
that's,
American Chinese food. So.
Exactly.
But definitely in high school, maybe like late middle school. But I remember even just the first time I had sushi was with like a friend. We just like were hanging out during the day and he's like, we stopped by some Asian market and he's just like, oh, I'm going to grab some food here. And I just kind of felt like I was going to be, like he was going to look at me like I was like a wuss or something.
Exactly.
I was like, I don't eat sushi. And the first sushi I ever ate was eel. It's like,
good start.
Like you would think it would even be, I mean, they even make like, you know, I mean, chicken sushi, but I mean, I could have had like shrimp tempura.
Yeah. Something real simple.
Yeah. Something real shrimp. Yeah. Real simple, like shrimp. And no, I went with the eel and unagi. And, yeah. And the journey began, but that's awesome. And so, wow. Traveling around Japan. That's, I'm very jealous. That's, I've been to Thailand and I've been to Shanghai as far as,
Oh, Japan's a great food city, man. I mean, like, sorry, Tokyo is a great food city. Japan is a great food country, but both of them are just awesome. So, tons of good food there.
And like you travel the U.S. a lot for all different beers, it sounds like?
Yeah. So, I got into gaming airline miles to fund, like, trips, right? Because we had moved, we didn't have much money, and I was like, hey, I was reading about it, and, you know, like, I like to read like weird things at night, so I was like reading about this, and I was like, I think I can make this work, man. So
you're like Adam Sandler in Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah. I was like, dude, like I think I can fuck it. Like I think I got it. So I started like saving up airline miles, and then like just doing different things, and I set it up to a point where like now we sit on a ton of airline miles. We've been a bunch of places for free. You know, like we just got back from Italy. We're going to Hawaii soon again.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And like, so like it makes it a lot easier when you don't pay for these. And another subcosm, like another part of this is that if I'm not paying for flights and hotels when I'm there, I like to splurge on food, right? Because like I have this money that I'm not paying on, like paying for like staying and traveling. So I'm like, dude, I got all this money. We can go eat at like dope restaurants and stuff like that. So we do that. But my friends are really into beer. And so a lot of these breweries do, like, very rare limited release beers, and we would always want to try them. And a lot of times there's, like, a secondary market for these beers, and, you know, they could have bottles that sell for $600, $800,000 a bottle, right?
Wow.
Because, you know, like, they'll be, like, small batch, bourbon barrel aged, like, crazy beers, you know, like, super high percentage stout, stuff like this. And they're hard to get, and, you know, if they only have, like, 200 of them or something, and, you know, most of the people that are there drink them, there's only probably, like, you know, a couple in the market. So we were like, man, we really want to try these beers, but we don't want to pay, like, we don't have $600 to spend to split a bottle of beer between the four of us, right?
Yeah.
So what we started doing is we were like, well, we do have all these airline miles, though, so we have an advantage on everyone else is that we can fucking just go there and just do it. So there's like, you know, different beer releases and like all kinds of stuff like that. So what we would do is we would like enter the beer contest or like buy tickets for it, whatever. And then Matt and a bunch of us would go, but like we would do stuff like fly out to California in the morning and spend like a day in LA, drive to Bottle Logic, pick up our beers, get in and out, and then fly home the same night, and we'd be back like by the next morning. So like we would
Man,
like
you need to
leave.
make I wanna like come with you next time and like make a little documentary about it. This sounds awesome. It sounds like a heist movie
Oh
almost.
yeah, it was so much fun. Like yeah, so we would like get on the plane. It would be like a 6 o'clock. Like we land in LA. It's like I think like 10 or 11, and then we would like go grab the car. The brewery would just be opening. We'd go like go and sit there, and then like we'd like leave in the middle, go get in and out, like sit there some more, have friends come meet us, and like drink all day. And then we'd be like, oh fuck, it looks like it's time for our flight. And we would just like pack all the beers back up. And we would travel like with like an empty suitcase or like a suit. It would be like one suitcase full of beer, because we'd like give beers to the people that are there and like trade beers, whatever.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, because we'd be like, dude, we picked these beers up yesterday in Connecticut. You're not gonna get it faster than this. These are like the freshest New England IPAs you can get right now. Like nobody else has them. And they're like, fuck yeah, so we'll trade you some of these beers that you're coming here to buy. And then we would like take bubble wrap and a roll of tape, and we would sit in the trunk of the car and fucking wrap all these bottles back up, throw them in the suitcase, check the bag, head home. We'd like land the next morning. We'd be like, okay, we're good. Like that was a fun trip.
Wow, that's awesome. That's the closest I ever got to that was like I got a friend that lives up in Vermont, and I stopped in this country store, and I was wearing a Yuengling hat, and I was stopping in this country
Oh,
store
nice.
right before, leaving the state, and I was picking up some, Vermont has such great beer, and the guy says to me like, oh, where are you from? I'm like, Jersey. He's like, oh, I used to live in Jersey. He's like, yeah, we really don't have Yingling up here. And I'm like,
Yeah.
really? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, and I'm like, well, next time I come up, because I go up at least, I don't know, three times in the winter, three times in the summer to visit my friend.
Oh
And
yeah, Vermont's awesome.
and I was just like, I'll bring up some cases. He's like, oh, you bring up some cases for me, I'll trade some with you. I'm like, okay, fine, cool, that's awesome.
Beer dudes are cool like that. They're really chill,
They are.
usually.
What's like the craziest beer experience you've had in these travels?
The craziest beer experience we had was we flew to Iowa to go to Toppling Goliath for a release of Morning Delight. And so it's a maple stout that they released, and it hadn't been released that many times when we went, but we were like, we're going to fucking Iowa. So we fly into Minnesota. It's like we fly into Minnesota. We drive to Iowa. So it's like you fly, then you drive like a 2, 'cause there's no fucking place to fly into Iowa. Like even like Des Moines is like an hour from this brewery. So we're like, okay, whatever. We drive there. We get there early in the morning, and we had told everyone we were coming. Like we were in like all of these like Facebook groups. Like we're coming. We're gonna bring a bunch of beers from Connecticut. You know, like actually, what my friend said was, our one friend Matt had an Android phone, and we said like, look, if you find us and you tell us that girls don't respond to green text bubbles, we'll give you a beer. But like you have to find Matt and say that to him, and like we'll give you a beer. And it's so, like everybody walk up and be like, hey, is Matt here? Be like, yeah. I'd be like, girls don't respond to green text bubbles. We'd be like, we know. And Matt's like, I know. Like he would be like so disappointed by it. And so he just got like harassed all day. And we were there, we're drinking, and it's like 11 o'clock in the morning. We hadn't eaten, right? Because we fly in, we just drive straight to the brewery. So this like this bar next to them was having a bottle share. So at the bar, if you paid like 10 or 15 bucks, because it's Iowa, you could bring in all the beers that you wanted and drink your own beers at this bar. Yeah, like as part of this release, it's not like an everyday type thing, but like because you know they knew like a bunch of people would be coming in, whatever, whatever. So we did that, and it's like 11 o'clock in the morning, and we are fucking hammered. And when we were driving there, I was like, this part of Iowa reminds me of rural Pennsylvania. Like, do you guys like have you guys ever been to like Lancaster and stuff like that? Because like you know I grew up in Pittsburgh, so like I've driven through that part before. And they're like, no. And I was like, oh, so you don't know about like Amish country? And they're like, no. And I'm like, oh, like the Amish are really like cool, and they have this thing that's really awesome. It's called Rumspringa. And so I like had to teach them about what Rumspringa was. So it's 11 o'clock in the morning. We're standing on these tables in this bar, hammered, yelling Rumspringa forever. And these kids that were from Iowa are just so confused, right? Because we're from Connecticut. We have like a bunch of beer that we're passing out. And like everything's super cheap there. So we're like, you know, like fucking buying everything, right? Because like as soon as you leave the Northeast, it's like you're just like a baller for no reason. Because like if, you know, beers are $2 now, you're like, fuck it, I'll buy like here, everybody gets a beer. They're like, here's a 20, whatever, you know? Like, so we're doing stuff like that. Then we like go over to the brewery. I fell down a hill, and I couldn't walk. Like I had like fucked my knee up really good, and we just like were obliterated, and we had to drive back, you know, 2 hours back. So I like start driving, and I'm like, Matt, how many eyes are you looking out of right now? Or like, no, I was like, Matt, how many can you see right now? He was like, one, and I was like, cool, I'm seeing double. You can drive. So he was like, shit. And I was like, you're the one who fucking answered. So he drives back, and we woke up. We didn't pack any of the beers. We literally just threw them in cardboard in the suitcases, and we flew home. They all arrived safe, and
Wow.
yeah. I think that was like the rowdiest time. Like my friends still tell about the time that I fell down the hill. Like I rolled straight. Like there was a place where you parked that was like on the side of a road, and then it was like a grade, right, that like went down,
Yeah.
and it was like maybe like the end of summer, kind of fall, like the beginning of fall type that. And so there was these like really long like grasses, right? Because we're in Iowa, so it's like these really high
Yeah.
grasses. And as I was walking to the car, I had already fucked up my knee because I tried to like hop this fence, and like that's when I fell. So like I was walking to the car, and I'm trying to get in the passenger seat because I'm like, I can't drive. So I get to this grade, and my knee just gives out, and I just tumble. I mean, like full rag doll down this hill,
Oh
like
no.
8 feet down it. Yeah, but like I was drunk enough that like my body just flailed. So, like I didn't even get hurt. I just like I remember head over heels, everything. And so my buddy Zach's in the passenger seat, just dying, right? Because he saw me roll down the hill. My buddy
Yeah.
Matt's like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Just go on without me." And they're like, we can't leave you on the side of the road in Iowa. Like,
Just
we have to
leave me a
come.
six pack and
Yeah, I was like, just go on without me. Like, I'm not gonna make it back up this hill. So, like, my buddy came down, dragged me back up this hill, and I was like, oh, there. And I'm like, Matt, do you have my glasses? And he was like, what? And I was like, shit, I don't have my glasses. And then he, like, went down and found them in these, like, 4 foot high grass. He found them. Yeah.
Oh man,
It was incredible.
those are some crazy journeys. I need to figure out from you. I need you to like help me with this world of I mean getting these miles, because I'm traveling all the time and I'm an idiot paying for every single
Oh, I
thing.
have a
I mean, I
proof on.
find good deals by all means. Like I'm going to New Orleans. This is coming out this Wednesday, so it'll be a week from now. I'll be in New Orleans for.
Cool. I love New Orleans, yeah.
Oh, it's my favorite city, and I'm seeing Tenacious D. I'm so
Very
excited,
cool.
and I found a round trip flight for, you know, like $100. So,
That's really cheap. That's
yeah.
and especially where you are, but like Rachel and I, what was it? Okay, so like my Hawaii flights, two round trip flights to Hawaii, $22.
What?
Yeah, well, 30,000 miles and $22.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah.
And when we went to Italy, we flew business class both ways, lie flat seats for like 150,000 and like $186 for both of them,
That's
for like
amazing.
taxes and fees. Yeah, man, I can hook it up, no worries.
Yeah, I need to figure that out from you, and then next time you go on one of these beer, I'm not trying to invite myself along, but
Oh no,
invite.
definitely. You're welcome to join. My
Yeah.
friends were just they literally were they just got back yesterday from Great American Beer Fest in Denver. I didn't go with them because I'm going to be doing some
Oh
other
yeah.
traveling, but they were at that one. So, yeah,
That's cool.
we still go all over. It's a lot of fun. Like you just have to find these like weird niche places. You have Kane near you guys, which does some stuff. But the
Yeah.
flying ones are fun. They're just like bros trips, right? Like Rachel didn't care. Like she doesn't want to join for like a same day turnaround,
Yeah, it's
12-hour trip
for
for beer.
bros, beers, and rolling down hills, you know?
Yeah, dude. Like we would just like go and just be like wild, you know, Rumspringa forever, man. Like
Exactly. Need to make t-shirts. Do you know anyone that made their way out? I wanted to go so bad out to 10 Barrel in Oregon for because they had that Blockbuster beer.
Oh
Did you see anything about that?
no, what was this?
So block it was
The last Blockbuster Alive or something?
Yeah, exactly. And it was
Okay.
probably, I don't know, probably like last late winter, maybe early spring, and it was closing, and then 10 Barrel, brewery out in Oregon, and the last Blockbuster was somewhere in Oregon. They teamed up and they made like a limited edition beer, and it was just awesome because it's just a straight up like blue and yellow, like with the Blockbuster logo on it. It's
Yeah,
awesome.
because they don't give a fuck anymore, so.
Exactly. And it's just, it looked awesome. And I was like, can I buy it and you ship it? And they're like, no, we're only
No.
doing it at certain, you know.
Yeah. You
I was like,
can't, you
I
usually.
just want the bot, like, I wanted the bottle more than the beer.
Yeah, man. Next, find one of these. We usually go to, like, there's like hype breweries. One of the next ones I want to go to is there's this brewery in Anchorage, and they release a barley
Wow.
wine called A Deal with the Devil, and I want to go out there and drink one of those because I haven't
Yeah.
had one yet.
Go
But yeah,
out
you
there,
can't.
drink some beers, wrestle a Kodiak grizzly bear.
Like, I've never been to Alaska, so I'm like, dude, that would be a really cool fucking spot to do like a beer, like, and then you turn that one into like a weekend, right? Or like at
Yeah.
least like 3 4 days, and you hang out there and just like drink beers, man.
I'm telling you, man, by doing this podcast and talking with people, I always hear such great stories, and just the way my mind works, I'm like, that could be a show. This is like the number one idea ever of like, this is a show. How is
What?
this not a show?
Like beer adventures?
Yeah, like just these like one day trip, like it's a journey in itself because
It's
it's not it's.
what is it? The Layover by Anthony Bourdain, but
Yeah,
with beer.
exactly.
It's like if you have one day in this town, these are the breweries you go to, and it's like, yeah.
It's awesome. And do you guys like when you bring the beers back, then do you try to like, did you ever, do you enjoy them just yourselves or do you ever try to like flip them for any kind of
We've
monetary
done
value or?
both. We've done both. So normally what we would do is I never sold a beer, but we've definitely traded. So like we would go out there, and if
Gotcha.
we go to California, it would be like, maybe it's 3 beers a person. I would get 3, my buddy Matt would get 3. We would take some beers out there, we'd try to trade, we come back with 9, okay? And it's like,
Okay.
damn, like nobody outside of California has 9 right now because like even if you're trading, you're gonna get 1. And if
Yeah.
you have a buddy, like maybe you get 2. So like coming back with like 9 of them, we would just be like, oh shit. And then we would turn those We would take like, whatever batch that we got like a stock of, and we'd be like, okay, these are the beers we do want also, and then we would get all of those ones. We would trade them for, something somebody else wanted that we didn't get that maybe came out in another rare release somewhere that we didn't go to. So we got to try a ton of like very exclusive rare beers like that just because like, we'd have like stockpile of one type and then we would just like flip them for other stuff. But never for money, although we could. My dad always would get really mad at me for not selling them. I'd be like, Dad, like these beers are worth like $400 a bottle. And he's like, so you gonna sell them? I'd be like, no, we're gonna drink them. And he's like, God damn it. Like he'd be so mad. Just disappointed him as a son in that moment.
You need to have, and then no, and then you know it needs to be the capper to like this every like season. Then you need to have like a fancy party and invite people
Oh,
over for like, you know.
yeah. We've had some of these. We've had like so then you get into these like cliques, right? And
Yeah.
there's like only certain groups of dudes that will have like $500 $600 bottles, and they like roll deep. So there was like I had a buddy in Stamford, Connecticut, like north of the city, and he and his group of friends would have like these beer shares, but they would be like really rowdy ones, like only $500 bottles at least, right? And then like I would come down with Zach, and we'd bring a couple bottles, and then we would drink like a couple $1,000 worth of beer that night because everybody would like bring like one or two very expensive bottles, and you just like lay them all out, and you're just drinking these like crazy ass beers that are, impossible to get, super expensive, and everybody's like just crushing them, and we're like, oh yeah, that was a fun night.
You
You just like
guys are.
do it for the gram, man. That's what you're flexing for, right?
Yeah, you guys are just rolling into all these great breweries like some Irish gypsies into France. How do you like that transition?
There you go.
There we go. All right. Here we are at the movie we're talking about today, Chocolat. Right? That's
Yeah.
how you're supposed to say it, not like,
Chocolat. Yeah,
yeah,
it's definitely,
Chocolat.
it has to be sultry for sure.
Yeah. Have you ever seen I Love You Man?
Yes.
It always reminds me of I Love You Man. He's like, I'm going home and watching Chocolat, and he's like, you mean chocolate? No, Chocolat. And at the end,
Chocolat.
he's like, I watched Chocolat. It was delightful. Was it delightful for you, Joe, too?
Yes. Yeah, so we were talking about movies and like what movie we were gonna pick. I saw Chocolat, and I had remembered that I only saw this movie once, and I saw it in probably the best context you could see it, which is like on a Saturday afternoon with your mom, right? Like
this. That's pretty much how I watched it.
Right. This is a movie. Yeah, this is a movie that your mom would have been like, "Oh, I heard great things about this. Johnny Depp's in it." And you're like, "Okay, Johnny Depp." So like you start watching it with your mom, and it's like essentially a Lifetime movie that just has Johnny Depp. And you're like, okay, but so I hadn't seen it since I watched it with my mom, and her and I have like a really great laugh about this movie all the time. That like, you know, I'm like, oh man, like Chocolat. There's like some of these movies like Chocolat, Unfaithful, Under the Tuscan Sun. Like these are like the movies that like make me think of her.
Yeah, really. Yeah, any Diane Keaton movie.
Diane Keaton for sure,
Or Diane Lane. That's what I meant. There we go.
I knew what you meant. I could see your face. So I watched this again today and I was like, this is a fucking delightful movie. Like, it's really good. I really enjoyed it. Like, it's just lighthearted and it's like definitely a Saturday afternoon movie still. Rachel watched it for the first time, was like, this is a movie you'd watch with your mom, like totally unprovoked. And I was like, yes, this is exactly what this movie is.
It's just a movie. I mean, it came out in 2000 and so this is pre-Captain Jack Sparrow. He's referred to as
a pirate.
Yeah, he says pirate, and she's like, oh, I think he's the captain. So it was a little foreshadowing there.
I know, right?
But this is just a delightful movie, and it has, like, it is the perfect kind of, like, romantic movie to watch if you're gonna, watch one with your mom. Like, it's not... You know, like, there's no, like, crude sex scenes.
No.
It's sexual, but it's, like,
it's
not...
very sexual, yeah.
Yeah, it's very... Yeah, it's Chocolat. And but this movie, the director, I am going to butcher his name. It's spelled L-A-S-S-E is the first name.
Lassie?
Lassie, yeah, but he's Swedish, so it's got to be something, you know.
Yeah.
And then Hallström, I believe, is how you would pronounce his last name.
Yeah, the Swedish ones would get me, too, man.
He's married to the character of Josephine, the one that ends up coming in and helping Vivian.
Oh, the battered wife.
Yes.
Okay.
That's not a baking joke that you said battered wife.
No, it's not. They don't bake. They just make chocolat.
Yes. And so this director, he also directed What's Eating Gilbert Grape, so there's your Johnny Depp connection. The Cider House Rules.
These are all food named.
I know, salmon fishing in the Yemen, and then his most recent film that we'll definitely be covering and doing a full episode on, The 100-Foot Journey.
Damn.
So those are he. This guy
is a foodie.
Lassie Hallström. I don't know if that's how you say your name. You're a foodie.
He is, for sure, man.
To quote our podcast network's godfather, we got a podcast for you.
True.
This is a pretty solid cast, and we don't even get Johnny Depp until like 50 minutes into it. He's not, so, you know.
Yeah, this is what I was remembering when I watched this movie, that I remembered my connotation of this movie from the one time I had watched it before was that Johnny Depp ruined this movie. And I remembered now why I was thinking that, and it's just because he's so useless in the film. Like, he's only, like, they pitch this as a Johnny Depp movie. He's on the cover of this movie, right?
Yeah.
But he's really only in this movie for 20 minutes at the most, like an hour in.
At the most. And like you said, he doesn't really contribute. Number one, I totally forgot that he has, like, an Irish accent. I shouldn't even call, I like,
one of the things I wrote down. It's a Johnny Depp accent.
I was like, the people going in and out of French and Irish accents in this movie is ridiculous.
Yes, they do switch a lot, yeah.
Why not just make him French? I mean, he's Mr. French to begin with. He was living in France at the time, and he's all, you know, like...
I don't know, man.
I don't know. Like, those are some small boats to get to... I know Ireland is, you know, across, like, a sea, but, like, I don't know. It just seems a little... just hopping around. They're gypsies.
Yeah, but, they're just boat gypsies, so, like, come on, man. Let him ride.
This is, like, a strong female-driven movie, and he doesn't serve really any purpose. I mean, I wrote down this movie is, like, what did I put? I was, like, it's, like, Mary Poppins meets, like, Pleasantville.
That's a, yeah. There you go, man. I just called it like Slutty Chocolate Town, because like that's because she just came in and gave everyone boners with the chocolate, and I was like, I like this town. This is a pretty cool little town now.
Yeah, just like little by little. That's the Pleasantville aspect of it. You know, little by little they get, you know, go from black and white to color by eating
Yep.
this chocolate. And I love, and there is like a little bit, and then the Mary Poppins-esque, because she comes in on the North Wind or whatever.
Yes.
And then, you know, just like her whole spoonful of sugar and everything like that, and then
Yep.
she's kind of fixing the town like that as well. And there's a little bit of magic to it, like she spins the bowl, but then she gives up on that and she just knows automatically what people's.
The guessing the
Except for Johnny
chocolate
Depp,
thing.
she can't read them.
She can't read him, man.
There
He's like
was,
a.
but then there was nothing more, like there was nothing else. That's like my biggest
No.
gripe, or Gilbert's gripe, with the movie. Sorry, that was low
It's, it
hanging
was
fruit.
too
Oh my
good,
God,
yeah.
that was another bad joke there. But
No, he does. He
yeah.
comes back. He comes back in later. And when he comes back in the second time, like when he like revisits, he says, hot chocolate, that's my favorite. And that's like the whole payoff.
Yeah, he has like the two he the first time he has just like the little like ganache things, like
Truffle something, yeah.
truffle thing. And then she brings him something on the boat before they make some sweet passionate love, and then there's a fire after the lovemaking.
Yes.
And then the last thing, yeah, when he comes back to town, 'cause then he just disappears. And then
He's
she's
just gone. They
decided.
don't say bye, nothing. Like
Yeah.
his boat's burned down, and also I was like, look, if you wanted to get rid of the pirate immigrants on your coast, burning their homes down is not the way to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Let go of the anchors at night or something. Send them a few, and they'll just be like, we're a mile down the river. Let's just keep moving.
Exactly. No, they just like burn their houses down, but then they also all leave. Like I thought they would have been camped out on like the shore just partying,
Yeah.
right?
Well, Peter Stormare's character is not exactly the most, you know, the brightest person of Sergei,
Yeah.
the
I was
abusive husband.
wondering, and I was like, Rachel, is that John Abruzzi from Prison Break? Because we've been seeing him pop up in a lot of movies, and it is. So like, I was like, oh fuck, yeah, I forgot that. That's definitely him from Prison Break. But I forget what else movie we were just watching and he was in too. But yeah, he plays like the dumbest person in France throughout this
Yeah,
movie.
well, he's in, I mean, like the what was that, Bad Boys 2,
He's in so many movies, yeah.
Armageddon,
Yep.
Fargo, Big Lebowski, like, you know, yeah.
Yes, Big Lebowski too. I forgot about
Give
that,
us some money, Lebowski.
yeah.
And then, I mean, it is a great cast. We got Juliette Binoche, I don't know. Dame Judi Dench. Sorry, almost
Yeah.
didn't
Judi
include
Dench,
that.
Rachel was really excited about that one for sure. I like
Yeah.
Judi Dench, and she's
Me
great in
too.
this movie too.
Me too. And I'm curious. I mean, she's still with us. I'm curious. It almost seems like I don't know if you've seen the movie 100 Foot Journey, but that's with
No, I
Dame
haven't.
Helen Mirren. And I was
Oh,
just like,
Yale's finest. She's
yeah.
a woman after my own heart. She's there are picture her picture's on the wall all through the city.
Wow. And
Yeah.
now she's in your beloved Fast and Furious
Oh no,
series,
sorry,
isn't she?
not Helen Mirren. Sorry, fuck, not that one. The other one. Shit, what's her name? Oh fuck.
It's another dame?
The other lovely old female actress. Oh god damn it, I can't think of her name. Like the other famous one.
I'm
Like
forgetting the one other famous one. Can you
not
give me a
Helen
movie she's
Mirren, but
in?
the other one, white hair, was in movies forever. Oh come on.
Give me like a movie she was in that you can picture her in. We'll see if we can
Didn't
get
she
it.
play? She was in Devil Wears Prada. Didn't she play Cruella de Vil?
Wait, no. No,
Devil
because
Wears
Devil Wears
Prada.
Prada, that's Meryl Streep
Yep,
and
that's who I
Cruella.
was thinking of. Yeah, Meryl Streep is Yale's finest. Sorry.
Oh, okay, so not British
Yes.
and not a dame.
Yeah, not a British, not a dame. Yes.
Okay, but she's fantastic.
Yeah, I confuse Meryl Streep and Helen Mirren a lot. Like I just like m cross them in my head because I think they kind of look the same. So like although they're very, very different, like at this point, I'm just like, oh yeah, like there's two great elderly female actresses that I really love. So, yeah, sorry.
That's okay. She was in a you know, cooking movie, the Julie and Julia. So
She was,
we
definitely
love her on
was.
Foodie Films. But and then we also get a pre Doc Ock Alfred Molina in this movie.
Oh, that's right. So this, yeah, this definitely was before Spider-Man. So he wasn't Dr. Octopus yet. That's right.
And we get a just post Matrix Carrie Ann Moss.
That one Rachel got. I recognize her face, and I was like, "Who is this?" And she's like, "It's Trinity." And I was like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, this is a year after The Matrix, so right? Matrix is
This
99, I'm
movie,
pretty sure.
yeah, this movie came out at a really weird time then.
It is a
Like
weird, yeah. It did
before these
well.
people were super. Yeah, it definitely did do well. I remember that.
It got 5 Oscar nominations. It
Shit.
made back like a lot of money, you know. But,
Yeah, damn.
so, what's he? What are you? Are you a chocolate person?
I am. I'm. I like candy. And I think candy and chocolate are separate. Do you understand my sayings
Yes,
here?
I mean, well, there's chocolate candy, but then there's chocolate.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's like so you have like on one end of the spectrum you have like Sour Patch Kids.
Oh,
On the
sure,
other
yeah.
end of the spectrum you have like dark chocolate bars and then like M&Ms are in the middle somewhere, right?
Okay, yeah.
But like for me, Rachel will get upset because I'll be like, "Oh, I want some candy," but like I'll have just eaten like a bowl of chocolate ice cream, and she's like, "Well, you just had dessert," and I'm like, "Yeah, but that was chocolate. This is candy." Like,
it's a different food group.
it's a completely separate idea in my head.
Yeah, the ice cream actually has a bit nutritional value to it. The candy does
It's
not.
nothing, just pure sugar. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Pure, like, manufactured sugar versus like maybe you have some natural ingredients in the ice cream.
Yeah,
But
exactly.
one of the
So.
few things, there wasn't like a lot of IMDb trivia or whatever, but supposedly Johnny Depp only likes like fake chocolate, not like so
So he
closer to
likes like
like
Hershey's.
yeah, like Hershey's and like Nestle and stuff like that. So he was not a diva, but just like, like they just gave him like that kind of chocolate when he was like
God, that's so horrible. Have you so have you just on a small tangent, have you had this experience yet where when you leave America all the chocolate tastes different?
yeah, because it's like 10 times like better technically, I guess, or
They
more natural, I should say. Not,
don't use so like I looked into this because whenever we were in Japan, I was eating all these chocolate bars and I was like, "These taste different. They're good." And when you come back, all the chocolate does taste very different. Like, you know, if you compare like shit chocolate bars, you know what I mean? Like Hershey's versus their version of Hershey's, right? And apparently we use soy lectin as a binder. And if you're not like accustomed to this flavoring, it's that. And also when I was like watching this Hershey's thing, Hershey's likes to like curdle the milk a little bit to give it this like souring flavor. And if you're not like used to this flavoring of chocolate, like growing up with it as a kid, it tastes very like weird to you.
That's interesting. I will say though, I once did a video shoot at Hershey Park,
Oh, I
and
love
we even
Hershey
I even
Park.
stayed at the hotel overnight. And number one, via the air filtration system, it smells like they blow out the scent of chocolate.
The whole town
Like
of Hershey.
the whole town, but in the hotel, they do it on
Oh,
purpose. It's not
I
like
didn't
the whole
know
town of
that.
Hershey just smells like it because of the
The plant,
plant.
yeah.
But like the hotel does it, and even like I t took it like with me, the shampoos and the conditioners are chocolate scented. I'm like, that's a little overboard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I grew up in Pennsylvania, so like I loved Hershey Park. It was definitely a place that I went to as a kid, and like I have very fond memories of like a town that smells like a whole amusement park built around chocolate. It's like the coolest thing when you're a little kid.
They gave us, like a Hershey bar, when checking in. I think they just do that for everybody.
Yeah.
And I will say that it did taste better. I hadn't
It's
had
so
one in a
much better.
while, and I was always actually more of a Nestle than Hershey person growing
Same,
up.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, but it tasted better there. I'm not saying it's still as good as a chocolate from like sh from
Chocolat.
Chocolat, yeah,
Yeah.
from the chocolatery Maya, right? I think that's what she names it.
Yeah.
And but just like getting Guinness in Ireland, you get Hershey bar and Hershey, it's going
If
to
it's
taste
fresh,
better.
man, it's good.
Yeah.
They do this weird thing at Hershey where I think you can even buy them online, but like certain like times of year you can buy same day Reese's where they'll do like a
Ooh.
special shipment because the Reese's there are fucking those are that's like where my heart is, right? Like the fresh Reese's are so good in Hershey Park. And they'll do a thing where like you pre-order them and they'll send you like a bucket of fresh Hershey's peanut butter cups, and like you get them like a day after they were made or something, you know?
Yeah,
It's a
that's
really, really cool
awesome.
thing. Yeah, and everybody's like goes nuts for these. They sell out all the time, and it's really cool.
It sounds, I mean, people go nuts for them. Like, I mean, in this film too, like we said, that she's going little by little. Like, I mean, who's, I guess her, what, who was her first per, oh, that one woman that then ends up, like, you know, she gives her,
Yeah.
guesses her favorite, because she comes in
But it's
and says she,
Lent.
yeah, it's, yeah, exactly. Lent has just started, and Alfred Molina's like, oh, pretty, you know, he's the mayor of the town. He's the, like, count or
The
whatever.
count, yeah.
And is very against it right away. It seems like they have like a hip young priest in town. He's dancing and singing to Elvis at one
Yeah,
point, but
he's
he's just
very young,
very
yeah.
influenced by Alfred Molina's character. And since Lent has just started, everyone's trying to behave. But also at the same time, I mean, I am not religious, but I thought, and I know things have changed over the years, but I always thought like Lent was like giving up one thing.
It's
Or is,
gotten to
yeah.
that point.
Yes, but back then it probably was like giving up all sources of pleasure, maybe.
Yeah, like during
Okay.
Lent you fast and it was like way more serious.
Gotcha.
Even me, I was a Catholic school boy. I went to 12
Oh.
years of Catholic school.
Still got the uniform? I'm sorry, that's just like a creepy question guys ask women, so I'm trying to make the world a better place by asking men the same question when I hear
That's
it.
very equalist of you. I
Thank you.
appreciate it. No, so even like for me, my grandma's version of Lent was much different than what I had. So like she would do the like n nothing during Lent, you
Yeah.
know,
Yeah, like
and
Alfred
like
Molina in this movie is like fasting.
yes, that's what she would do during Lent. And but for me, it was always like, yeah, one thing and no meat on Fridays also type thing. And they would do like no meat all Lent and like only eat one meal a day the whole time and stuff like that. But yeah, it's definitely watered down now, and I think even probably worse since I've stopped caring about it, so.
Watered down just like our American chocolate. God damn it.
Exactly.
It's fine. What do you have any like favorite moments, any favorite scenes in this movie?
Oh, in my love of Lifetime movies, and because it makes me feel like a Lifetime movie, one of my favorite scenes is when she bonks him with the skillet, 'cause that's like a very Lifetime
Oh yeah,
that like
definitely.
hitting somebody with a skillet to knock them out and like stop, you know, some violence is like top tier things you can do in Lifetime movies. So, if you're not watching a murderous one, that is, but like if you just want to like, you know, stun someone for 14 hours, just hit them with a skillet and then it's fine. Everybody laughs about it and we go on with our lives. And so like I think that when she bonks him with the skillet and she was like, "What did you say? I can't use a skillet." It was like everything about it was just straight from Lifetime for me. So that's one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah, that's a great scene. That's with that's when Peter Stormare, like, he tries to, well, Alfred Molina tries to help him clean up a bit after,
Yes,
you
after
know,
he beats
he's,
his wife, yeah.
yeah, after he beats his wife, and he comes and he asks for her, you know, to accept his apology, and she says she accepts it, but that doesn't mean that she's gonna leave with him. And then he comes back in a
Drunken rage.
drunken rage, and it's a, you know, it's a, yeah, it's a scary scene. And then, but then she says that line about the skillet, and then
She
even,
bonks him and says a skillet joke, and everybody's back to normal. We're all
yeah, and
good
then
the
even
next
Vivian, who was like getting choked out, starts laughing about it. It's like,
day.
that's how feel good of a movie it is. Like, even
It's so
then, like,
wholesome, the whole
it's so
movie.
wholesome. I think this probably, what's that? Is that the Bechdel test or whatever, the, you know, the however many women talking in a scene and stuff like that to
Oh no,
make
I don't
it.
know this.
Yeah, it's a certain, we used to bring it up
It's a
on.
metric.
Yeah, P.S. I love Hoffman a lot. Me and Brian Rodriguez, host of High School Slumber Party. Shameless plug. And yeah, just because, you know, obviously dealing with like a male actor m movie, we would try to see what which movies would fall into that scale. And it has to deal with how many women are in the movie, how many, like, if women interact with one another. And again, it just seems like a pretty women empowered film.
Yeah, this movie
And
does great with that. There's like constant groups of women, and they don't like downplay them either. They're not like giving
yeah.
them like super subservient roles. Like, she's a female business owner. She takes in the other woman to be like an apprentice, right? She's not just like somebody cleaning. And
Yeah.
like, yeah, they give them like substantial roles. And Johnny
Yeah, she
Depp is an
teaches.
afterthought.
He really is. All like the hapless characters in the movie are male. Like even like the woman goes home after Vivian gives her the chocolate, and she just looks at her husband being like asleep and lazy in his chair, and just throws away the chocolate. But when he sees it, then he gets his little
Yeah.
excitement going for himself. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the French were just always doing it, but I guess I'm wrong.
Yeah, maybe not. It's
Yeah.
just they're just like us.
But just some other things. Let's see. What else did I write down? There's a whole like subplot of a invisible kangaroo.
There is. Yeah, that not necessary, but I liked it because you get a kangaroo at the end, a real one that just hops through France, and Rachel hadn't watched like the beginning of the movie. She had come in like 15 minutes into it or something, and she's like,
Okay.
"Where the fuck did this kangaroo come from, and why is it in France? Like, did the pirates bring it?" I was like, "They weren't in France. It was an imaginary kangaroo."
Yeah, Pantouf, right? I think that was his name.
Yeah, I think
Yeah.
that's it.
Yeah. And he just hops away at the end because I guess she finds. I mean, so are we led to believe that Rue, Johnny Depp's character, stays and he becomes like the father figure for Anouk and
I
then, you
think
know.
so. I think that's what they're trying to hint at here, that like it's more of like her wandering spirit was eased, right? Like,
Yes.
she's now found a place that she can ground in, you know, like this is her town now. So,
Yeah,
but
there's a
yeah.
whole mythos to this movie where then she's telling her daughter some like a bedtime story, and it ends up being about I guess her like her parents, right? And so
Yes.
her father was French and her mother Guatemalan, I
Yeah, it
think
was
it
South
was.
American somewhere.
South American. And yeah, and just about these women that would go from town to town and helping people with via like chocolate and herbs and all this stuff,
Yeah,
and like
man.
chili powder and stuff, and all these crazy things. And she then even, then has a child with this French guy, and then that ends up being, Vivian. But then she like leaves her husband in the middle of the night. So these are women that are just like don't have a, a bad marriage, and they're just like, no, I'm just leaving with the
I'm
north
just free,
wind.
man. Yeah.
Yeah.
And for the time, it being a period piece, like the other woman just like leaving her husband being like, "No, I'm gonna go work at the chocolate shop." Like, fuck off. Like,
Yeah.
these are all very empowering things, 'cause like they even make note, like they like are looking at it in the movie and they're like, "How do you feel like having this child without a husband?" And she's like, "Cool. Like, whatever. It's fine, I guess."
Yeah, and even like the kids say to Anouk at one point, like, oh, we heard you don't have a dad. And she's like, no, like, I have a father. I just, we just don't know where he is right now or whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the journey they're taking in this, in this movie. But then she eventually, at the end, releases the rest of her mother's ashes out into the wind. So I guess her mother's, ashes continue their
Yeah, that's a
North Wind story.
Yeah, that's like a really like when you put it like this, it's like, yeah, it's like, well, if we just break grandma's ashes somewhere, like this is where we stay now. Like,
Yeah,
she's
there's
not
like a bit
carried
of a
with us.
haunting factor to it. There was
Yeah.
like the spirits of the past like keep you doing it, even though you don't necessarily want to. Because at one point, like she's trying to leave when like all is lost after the when she thought her daughter died on the Irish
Boat
pirate boat
fire.
party fire.
Yeah.
And then she's all ready to leave, but then her assistant, Josephine, goes and gets like everyone she's helped so far. So like the two older people, the husband and wife, that the young kid and his mom,
Yep.
that Trinity plays, and they're all helping. And she decides to stay. Then even Alfred Molina has his moment of indulgence, and it's like the night
Oh,
before he.
that's I think that's my second favorite scene,
Yeah.
because like I would love to spend a night just rolling just in a
In a front
chocolate
window.
stupor,
Yeah.
in a chocolate stupor, just crying and rolling in chocolate. And just like
Yeah.
wake up like, oh fuck, you know, like she's like, here, drink this.
He
It'd be
was.
like, it's like the best night ever. He had like the greatest, Easter Eve that you could ever imagine, just like chocolate wasted in this front window in the store.
Yeah, did he make it, or can you, like, when can you start, enjoying yourself again? Is it like Easter Day? Like, can you, do you have to wake up, or like he was still awake from the night before, the day
I think it's
before?
what the the real rules. I don't know what exactly it is, but I know that like most people celebrate like you have to go to church first and then you have like a big
Oh,
meal after
so
church.
yeah.
So he kind of like just missed it.
Yeah. You know,
But
it's a
you
good companion piece for this movie, 40 Days, 40 Nights, Josh Hartnett movie,
Ah,
where he gives up sex for 40 days, 40 nights.
yeah, true.
I remember that coming up in my high school film class, and I had this very odd high school film teacher. He was like, tried to be cool, and we thought he was cool, but then thinking about like things he would say now, it's just like, that's not inappropriate, just like inappropriate in the sense of like, we shouldn't be hearing this from like an adult, like, or
Yes.
whatever. And like one of his things was just like, because he gave I think one chance like a semester to a student, like to bring in a movie that like we would watch in class and talk about it. But he's like, but he like made a rule. He's like, I don't want like 40 days and 40 nights. He's just like, why the fuck do I care about Josh Hartnett not having 40 sex for 40 days, 40 nights? He's like, that's not real. That's not hard time. It's like, oh my God. Like, I'm thinking about like how he's just like was in a dr my high school teacher was in a dry spell at that moment. It's like,
Yeah, he was.
that's not appropriate.
He's like being tempted by all these high school seductresses that want to watch 40 Days and 40 Nights. He's can't do it, man. Oh, God.
I want to play a clip because even though he is useless to the movie, but he made it on the poster. So let's play the clip between Juliette Binoche and Johnny Depp when he comes into the store and tries that truffle.
Hello.
Hi.
I just made a fresh batch of Mon Dieu. Anybody interested?
My tummy hurts.
Oh, I've got just a thing for that. Come in.
What about boycott immorality then?
Come in. An old remedy. From a cocoa tree.
Tastes strange.
Maybe your daddy would like a taste.
It's not my daddy. He's my pony.
Here, it's a lot better than those leaves.
Tastes good.
Come on. Pantouf wants to meet you. He's my kangaroo.
Go ahead. It's your favorite.
What makes you so sure?
Go on, taste it.
That's fantastic.
Oh, thanks. I have a knack for guessing.
It's good. Not my favorite.
Sorry.
All right. Thanks very much. You know, I could fix that if you like. Not with glass, but I can make you nice strong without a wood, I think.
That's nice of you. But I insist on paying you for your work.
Well, that makes two of us then. Right. Thanks again.
So I also wanted to play. I had a. This is like a premeditated joke commentary, I want to say, but I laughed at the moment in the movie when this happened during the scene, and I thought you'd appreciate it. When they come in and they're at the counter, and the little girl's trying, I don't know, some kind of like leaf or whatever because her tummy was
Yeah,
hurting.
she's eating coca leaf.
Yeah, coca leaf. And then Juliette Binoche, in like a sly way, is just like, oh, like, what about your father? And she's like, oh, he's not my father. He's my pony. And like at that moment, all of a sudden, I just heard Genuine say pony. And I knew if anyone would appreciate
Oh,
my thought
yeah.
of that, it would be you with obviously being a host of Magic Mike's.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And just see him and Jenna Dewan doing the. Did you ever see that clip of when they did the lip sync battle and
Oh,
she does
yeah.
Pony? Oh, so good.
Yeah, and so I was just imagining that Thank moment, you. Like, all of a sudden, Johnny Depp just, like, breaking into...
Or what if there's just, like, Pony in the background of it, right? Like, like, he's my pony. Yeah, and they do, like, a full musical number. I would really enjoy it.
It could have if it was down. Made today, it could have happened, I feel like.
It could have happened. It could have been, like, The Greatest Showman, but with Johnny Depp and a pony breakdown.
Yeah, but this is, so I mean, this is one of the earlier scenes of John, well, not even just one of the earlier scenes, one of the few scenes with Johnny Depp. You got to hear his annoying Irish brogue, but
he has like his own distinct accent in real life though, right? Like,
yeah, well, he's someone to refer to another actor that you cover on Boyfriend Material. Like, Ryan Gosling kind of chose his own accent, at least I've been told / read.
Okay.
Because he's from Canada, and he kind of has, like, this early, like, gangster kind of, like, you know, like,
in
New
a lot
York.
Of times,
like,
yeah.
Like, Ryan Gosling, he kind of, you know, he just kind of talks, you know, like, he honestly talks like a young Pacino sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not as Italian, but just like a young Pacino sometimes.
Yeah, it's the stutter, the delivery.
Yeah, just,
the cadence,
the humble, like, I'm cute and I know it, but I'm just like, I'm being humble, like, yeah, like, I can do the lift from Dirty Dancing, what, so what of it, you know? Yeah, it. It's like that, and, you know, and like in Drive, it's like, I drive, yeah, okay.
Like, I so see it now that you're doing it. Yeah, it's right in between. Yeah, it is, man. I get it.
Sorry for ruining it.
No, it's okay. I like it. I'm fine with it.
But yeah, that's like, Johnny Depp just has that weird accent anyway. Like, it's like him, Madonna, there are these just like uber crazy...
Lindsay Lohan,
like,
gave herself a weird accent
recently. Oh, really?
You weren't there the day that we were like at Joey's and Brian and I, like, when Lindsay Lohan went on that rant, and she has this like weird accent now.
Oh.
She said she has a world accent, is what she said.
Oh, whatever. Yeah, Jesus Christ. But just, yeah, exactly. People with giant egos that then, like, moved to a place and, like, Madonna became British. And then Johnny Depp became Irish-French, I guess.
I don't know, man. I've definitely, like, lost some words or picked up some words regionally, but I think that, like, I kept my core accent. I've never tried to get rid of it, and I've never tried to pick up a different one, but, like, that's such a weird thing to me. Like, I don't think my brain could work like that, so.
Yeah, I really don't think, I mean, I have an American accent, sure, like, I know that when I travel abroad and talking to people.
Yes,
but
I definitely,
like,
don't sound British, for sure.
Yeah, but, I mean, some words, like, I'll say, like, I'll catch myself saying, like, tomato instead of tomato.
Yes.
So it's just like, sure, okay, Jersey. But I'm not, like, fucking Joe Pesci or Danny DeVito. Like,
yeah, exactly.
But anything else you want to say about Chocolat besides it being just a delightful film and definitely have something sweet? If you're into sweets, have something sweet around the house is my...
Yes.
My advice to
people.
It's
a great recommendation. Definitely make sure you get some chocolate first. And no, I'm so happy that I like watched it, and, you know, I had the negative connotation of it before I watched it, but rewatching it now, a little bit older, I was like, this is just a very joyous movie, and, like, I'm very happy that I watched it again because it made me happy. Like, there's nothing bad about that movie. Like, you could just be happy watching it on a Saturday afternoon. So,
with your mother, yeah.
With your mom, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. No, just, I mean, and they even had, like, a regular food scene this when they had Judi Dench's birthday, and they had some
big
nice
turkey.
Like, turkey and, like, prawns and stuff like that. And then even we mentioned the Alfred Molina in, like, the store window, but we get, like, this very close up on his tongue.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't want to see a close up on Alfred Molina's tongue?
True. I wonder, what was the gravy? Was she putting chocolate gravy
stuff? That was too close to, like, a chocolate sauce that I got
it's
really
like a mole.
Creeped out for a second.
I think it's like a... She was doing some kind of, like, mole sauce that they were pouring on everything, is what I'm guessing. Because she's doing the Mexican chocolates with, like, some peppers in them. I think she made some kind of mole.
Oh, okay.
And was using that as gravy, and they were just, like, all mind-blown by it. Because, like, every time they were eating it, they were just like, oh, fuck, like...
Yeah, oh, exactly. That was definitely, like, the people at the table at first, like, and then they just start, like, laughing together. And then I was just expecting everyone to just go, like, full-on, like, Caligula. And just...
Yeah.
Didn't happen, though.
No.
That would be a movie I wouldn't want to watch with my mom. Anyway, moving on. I sent you a few emails earlier, so
yes.
If you would be willing to go ahead and click either option 1, 2, or 3, and just whichever one you click, we'll discuss that clip.
Ooh, I'm gonna go for door number 3.
3. Ooh, which one? I don't even remember which order I put in. Oh yes, I was kind of hoping this would happen.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So we're gonna play this clip for you right now, and then we're going to talk about it. And I don't
know, you know what I was thinking?
What?
I really don't think that the animal cracker qualifies as a cracker.
Why?
Well, because it's sweet, which to me suggests cookie, and you know, me putting cheese on something is sort of the defining characteristic of what makes a cracker a cracker. I don't know why I thought of that. I just.
Baby, you have such sweet pillow talk.
I got like a little animal cracker Discovery Channel thing happening right here. Watch the gazelle as he grazes through the open plains. Now look, as the cheetah approaches, watch as he stalks his prey. Now the gazelle's a little spooked, and he could head north to the ample sustenance provided by the mountainous peaks above. He could go south. The gazelle now faces man's most perilous question. North. So, way down. Tune in next week.
Baby, do you think it's possible that anyone else in the world is doing this very same thing at this very same moment?
I hope so. Otherwise, what the hell are we trying to save?
That's so great. Yeah. That was all right, so incredible.
That's amazing. So, I would have explained this in the cold opening, but since we're recording this from different locations, it was kind of just a magical and odd experience just to hear, I think, both of us kind of like, oh, and just like laughing at little moments while watching this clip.
I don't think I've, so we get drunk a lot. We play like, you know, like random songs, like nostalgia songs. Like that's like one of our favorite things to do, right? Like we'll be like, oh fuck, do you remember this song? Like usually they're like movie themed or like, you know, a genre of like our childhoods, whatever. And we've definitely played this song a lot, so like when I was watching, I thought this was going to be the music video for it. And
the
that's
very
why
weird
I was like,
music video where instead of these, Bruce Willis's face on the TVs, it's Steve Tyler's and he's singing to his daughter.
Yeah, like these kind, yeah. Like I think that's like my, you know, like when we had these early 2000s, late 90s movies, they would like do the music video and it would just be like scenes from the movie. It's just like a trailer. Yeah. So like I thought we were going to get one of those, but no, it's just the scene about the animal crackers, which is great too. So
yeah, this is like a commercial for animal crackers and BMW.
It is. Definitely.
I couldn't have planned it. Like when I was talking with you, I'm like, oh, you know, what are some of your favorite movies? It's not like you said this, but
no.
When you said like nostalgia and bad, I just like,
oh, yeah.
I went on like a black hole on the internet of 90s. And I actually,
it's the best
I do,
place to go.
I do, like Armageddon is actually one of my favorite Michael Bay movies.
It's so great. Yeah. Armageddon's a great movie. Yeah.
One of my favorite things about Armageddon is actually not technically like about Armageddon, but it's the fact that when, oh god, the guys of, you know, South Park.
Yes.
Matt Stone, Trey Parker, when they were thinking about making Team America World Police, one of their earliest ideas was making like the puppets that they use in that movie. They were going to do that and just recreate Armageddon.
Oh god.
But they couldn't get the licensing. But it's just like, just to show how ridiculous that movie is.
Yeah, because you could do it with puppets and you'd be like, oh, it's the same fucking movie. Like,
yeah. This is another Peter Stormare is in this movie, so that's great. This is a sensual food scene to go along with our sensual food movie. We get another, as you pointed out, a shitty accent. We get a shitty, like, Australian Steve Irwin impression.
We definitely do. That was, like, Steve Irwin's big time, too, man. Like, everybody was doing Steve Irwin at this time, so.
Yeah,
it was the right time to do it. He's, like, the voice of the animals, man.
Yeah, and, I mean, you know, in the end of the day, Ben Affleck or his character, that of AJ, brings up a very valid point. And yes, I didn't have to look at his character's name on IMDb to remember this character's name. AJ. And He brings up a valid point. Why is it called animal cracker? It is an animal. It's a cookie. It's sweet.
It is. It is. But there's two versions of animal crackers too.
There is.
Yeah, dude. You don't. There's like the P.T. Barnum, the real cookies, like the sugar cookie shortbread
with the icing on it.
No, not those. Oh. Those are iced something.
Oh, okay.
Did you remember the ones that were in the box that looked like a circus car, yeah. Like a train car?
Yeah, that's like the one he had there.
Yeah, but then you have the ones that are like the puffy, really white ones that are more crackery, that aren't as sweet.
Oh, okay. But he had like the cookie kind of ones.
Yeah, he had like the cookie kind of ones.
But they're all called animal crackers, I think.
They all are all called animal crackers. That's true.
Yeah.
But I think that I'm imagining that like back in the day that they were like so bland that they were more crackery than cookie and we just like fixed them.
Yeah.
And the name was already named. Like we already used this.
Yeah, and then they got more sugary to compete with like
real cookies.
Real cookies and like crazy advertisings when they're like, but let's keep the zoo theme or the circus theme or whatever.
Yes.
This came out in 98. So I was 9, 10 years old. I remember this being like an early movie that I was like, something's happening in my body.
Yes. Like,
That's what I was thinking. Sensual.
Yeah.
Like, it's teaching you some things.
You get a lot of like belly. Like belly was big.
The navel.
Navel was the word I was looking for. Yeah.
You know, like, oh, yeah. And it just makes me think of Will Ferrell in Old School when him and his wife are going for counseling, and he's just like, and sometimes I'm at the restaurant, I'm just wondering what kind of panties she has on. Is it something new and exciting, or something, you know, basic, like nice simple white cotton? I don't know. Like, I just.
Yeah,
and that's like what this like, and that it, when I hear him say that, then I think of like this scene. It's just symbiotic. It's just
and this is such like a sensual scene, but at the age that we were at when this movie comes out, this is like as close as you can imagine to like doing something weird with a girl, right?
Oh yeah, like it's just like
this is
oh
it,
my,
like run animal crackers
I
on her
so
navel.
Excited to see her like bra.
Yeah. You see her bra, and you, like, run animal crackers on her navel. You're like, oh.
Yeah.
Whoa. Something definitely happened. Like, like, I wasn't imagining, like, you know, like, hardcore shit. But, like, you see that, and you're like, yeah, I can see where they're going here.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's like something else is happening.
Yeah, definitely.
With them and with me.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, I like that they, like, toned it down enough that it, like, related to my... You know, young prepubescent urges. Like, it's just like, it was right there at the right time.
Yeah, it was right there. It's like, you know, I mean, it's a PG-13 movie, but it's right before possibly, you know, the end of the world. So, we know, and as she says, like, she just really hopes someone else, like, in the world is doing the same thing, which is a weird thing to say in that
with
moment.
Running animal crackers over their bodies. Like, who's,
yeah, exactly.
Who's doing
imagine,
that right now?
Yeah, exactly. Someone in, you know, Japan at that moment. Running, whatever.
Oh god!
But
yeah.
That's a ridiculous scene.
That was. Thank you for sharing. I'm glad that you reminded me of it because I don't think I've watched the movie. Like I've seen the music video a bunch of times recently, but like I need to revisit the movie pretty much immediately now.
So. It's a movie that I quote and Brian and I quote so much. I love the late Michael Clark Duncan in that movie. His name is Bear,
yeah.
And he's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And, like,
oh, yeah.
He just has such... I mean, he's a deep voice in general, but in that movie, he's like, what? And then, like, even... It's one of the most ridiculous lines ever is, like, when... I mean, because Steve Buscemi's in that movie. It's awesome.
Oh, God, yeah. The cast is crazy, man.
Yeah, the cast is crazy, and I love the scene where, like, they get all the oil guys together, and they have, like, their list of demands, and Bear wants to stay... and he had like he, so at that point Bruce Willis is reading the list and he's like and Bear wants to stay for the summer in Lincoln bedroom of the White Horse and it's just like why but Bruce Willis why like you got everything up until that point and you just didn't know that he like you were reading House's horse but then like Bear goes White House, White House. And it's just, like, the most amazing delivery,
yes.
Like, deep delivery of, like, a demand ever.
I love
and
it.
Owen Wilson's in that movie. It's, like, one of those
oh,
90s
God.
Movies when Owen Wilson was dying in every movie. Like, House on Haunted Hill, Anaconda. Ah, what a great time in cinema.
Yeah. 99. Joey, we were just talking about this, and a guest that came on to Too Fast, Too Forever. Oh, fuck. I need to find the real title of the book for you. But he just wrote a book how 1999 was, like, the greatest year in film history. And, like, yeah, all of these movies had come out, like, right then. And, like, there's just so many good ones that had come out. And it was just, like, a perfect time of, like, we had, like, barely technology. You know what I mean? Like, just
yeah,
all of these
I
things
were
just...
Unironically, love that movie. It's nostalgia for me. I think it's hilarious. I mean, I'm not saying it's like masterful cinema.
No, definitely
like
not, but
every,
it's enjoyable.
Every bit of what I like love and enjoy in just like a movie I could watch in any scenario.
Yep, like, I agree,
plane,
brother.
Like anything. I don't need like a big screen would be amazing, or I could watch it on my phone on a plane.
True.
And
yep, and you'd love it every time.
Exactly. But, well, last but not least, we have our segment, Gut Instincts, so I'm just going to read off these, I'm going to ask you these questions and let me know whatever comes to mind first.
Okay.
Favorite fast food?
In-N-Out.
In-N-Out.
Well,
have you ever done the secret menu or whatever? Done that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mustard fried, double mustard fried. We have this argument of Too Fast Food all the time. Double mustard fried, extra toast, grilled onions, chopped chilies, and one cold cheese is what my friends just taught me. Oh. You do In-N-Out, next time you're in In-N-Out, you do one cold cheese. So one cheese slice, they melt on the burger. They put one cold cheese on it. I started doing this at home now. It's revolutionary to me.
I like it.
Have you ever done it? Do you know, like...
Yes, I have. Like, not for, like, more out of laziness than...
Yeah, like if you're like at a barbecue, you know, the cheese is on the side, you throw one cold cheese on. But when you do the combo.
But the combo of the melted, and I like the idea of like the texture differences.
That's good. You get the texture, and they taste a little bit different, right? Like when you start
melting
especially
it. Especially like Kraft Single, like type American cheese.
Oh, yeah, like Land O'Lakes.
That's the whole thing. I love cheese, but like so many cheeses, once you start melting, like I would argue every cheese pretty much tastes better once melted.
Rachel would agree with you, man. Yeah,
it's
for sure.
So good. Like melted Swiss, melted cheddar, melted
Gouda.
Munster.
Gouda.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now you're talking my language. For sure.
Go to beer and or cocktail.
Oh, I'm a Jack Daniels boy. I've been drinking Jack Daniels before I was legally allowed to drink. I'm like, you know, more than a decade deep in Jack Daniels right now. So that's... Mm. Jack usually... Oh, and I would do Jack and Diet Dr. Pepper is my favorite combo.
Oh, nice. All right.
You get the sweetness. The Dr. Pepper plays really well with Jack, and that's like our normal go-to drink. Like, if I'm going to drink at home, that's what I'm drinking.
Nice.
Yeah.
What style of beer do you... As a beer connoisseur, like, what are you liking right now? What style, I'll ask? I'm a big... I've recently gotten... Not recently, but over the past, like, couple years, like, I'm always... on a search for like the sour I'm gonna love.
Oh, really? That's cool. I like sours. There's tons of great sour places putting out great sours right now too. When I came to New England, it was right at the beginning of the New England IPA burst, right? Like this was like not everybody was making them. It was like way more rare. So like that always has a special place in my heart. I love the New England IPAs. I drink a lot of stouts. Especially now that it's getting colder. We were on, like, a big seltzer kick. We've been drinking all the different seltzers lately.
Oh, the, like, spiked seltzers?
Yeah, like, all of those to try. But, like, if I had, to like, just a beer to go to, it'd probably be an IPA. It kind of pairs well with everything. Mm-hmm. Like, if I want something with food, like, I can drink an IPA and eat pretty much any type of food and be happy, so.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's harder to do that with, like, sours, obviously.
Yeah, stouts and stuff. I'm not going to drink, like, a chocolate stout and eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A nice, thick oatmeal stout.
Yeah.
Favorite childhood snack?
Favorite childhood snack? You know what? First thing that came into my head was cinnamon toast. Like, cinnamon sugar on toast.
Oh, so not like Cinnamon Toast Crunch, like not CTC. No. We're talking just like cinnamon on toast.
Yeah,
with
white
some
bread
on there too to like hold it. Or
yeah, white bread, butter.
Yeah,
cinnamon sugar. There was like a cinnamon sugar shaker that used to come shaped like a clown. Do you remember this?
No, I don't remember that. I'm gonna have to Google that to like.
Yeah,
see if
so
it's
they would
gonna,
like
throw me down memory lane or something.
They would, yeah, they would put it in, like, one shaker together, and it was, like, a clown, and it was, like, shaped in, like, a, you know, a vase-type shape. And, yeah, I think that was, like, the main snack that I remember as a kid when you first said it. That was the first thing that popped in my head.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's definitely, like, I mean, not, I'm going to have to look up that sugar shaker, but that is something, like, I forgot that that's something that, like, my mom would, like, you know, make for me, just, like maybe even on, like, a day I stayed home sick or something.
Exactly,
like that.
Exactly. Yeah. This is, that's
watching, what, like, the Rosie Show in the morning.
Yep.
And then The Price is Right.
Price is Right. Yep, that's what I was going to say. Exactly.
Sweet or savory?
Sweet.
Sweet.
Sweet for sure. I'm a big desserts guy. I'm a big sweet guy in general.
Favorite food city, domestic and abroad, I'll ask you, since you're a well-traveled man.
Oh. Favorite foods. I actually, you said it before, and I think New Orleans is one of my favorite domestic food cities.
Because
The Creole and, like, all that influence is just great. You have seafood. Definitely, like, a great food city. My home city of Pittsburgh is blowing up right now. It's becoming
really
great foods, a huge food city. Like, Bourdain did one of his last episodes of No Reservations there. Or what was it? No, not No Reservations.
Parts Unknown.
Parts Unknown. He did one of his last episodes of Parts Unknown there because it's, like, totally blowing up where, like, all of these guys are coming back and, you know, opening these crazy restaurants. And every time I go back, I find something cool and interesting to eat there.
Awesome.
Abroad, the one in my most, we talked about Japan, which I do love, but the one of my most recent memories was, Barcelona. It's a great food city, man. And I think you were just there too, right?
Yeah, that was my second time there. I was there back in, July, and there was, like, this one, tapas place, La Coba de Azul, and it's just this place that I was taken on after I did, like, a food tour.
Yeah.
I was talking with the guide so much the first time I was in Barcelona. They were like, hey, listen, like, this is somewhere, like, I don't take people in the food tour. I don't like a lot of people knowing about it. And I was like, well, I'm with, like, at that point I had met, like, four people that I took the tour with. And they're like, okay, just those four? Because it was, like, a tour of, like, 20 of us. And they're like, okay, I'll take you. And it's just, like, in the Gothic Quarter and all those windy streets.
Yeah.
And luckily enough, like, I, you know, like, pinged it. And I think I even took, like, a business card. And then I found it this time. And they make...
That's awesome.
Number one, just, like, the best gin and tonic ever there. It's, like, served in, like, a mini fishbowl.
Oh, I love
it. It's, like, a huge, like, cognac glass. And, yeah, fantastic. And the food there was just... above and beyond, and just in general, like, the big market they have there, so good.
Yeah, like, all the little bakeries, dude, like, I feel like America's lost that. Like, we definitely don't have it as much as they still have it in Europe, that you can, like, just go into, like, any, like, like, we just have this prevalence of, like, Starbucks, right? So it's, like, we don't have these, like, local coffee shops where you go in and get, like any type of pastry and coffee and, like, all of these things. Like, oh, I love bakeries too, man.
Yeah, we have much more commercialized places over here. And then also, I mean, obviously in our cities, I mean, you know, you can be walking around like you are in Barcelona, but it's just, you know, people just still don't even do that as much anymore.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Postmates, right?
Yeah, and also, like, one, you know, you want to do, like, one-stop shopping and stuff like that. But I love that culture over there. I like, you know, I mean,
I do
I'm
too,
on vacation,
man.
So I can be that way. But with tapas, like, you go in, little bite here, little bite there.
Grab a beer, move along, bullshit, make a friend. I love it. I'm with you.
It's the best. Favorite cuisine?
Ooh. I think it's probably still Italian food.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's such a wide gambit.
Yeah.
But,
you can't go wrong, yeah.
But, like, low-key, if I, like, one of the last meals that I would ever eat would probably be, like, Turkish food.
Ooh.
Because I fucking love Turkish food. Like, I just love everything about it. I like the, like, the Mediterranean feel of it. And I think Turkish...
Yeah, the kebab. Yeah.
Kebab, but I also like baba ganoush. Like,
oh, yeah. It's so
they
good.
Still use feta. They have hummus. Like, it's like a nice balance of, like... fully Middle Eastern and also, like, Mediterranean. Like, Turkish kind of encompasses all of it. So
yeah.
I like Turkish food a lot.
It's really good. I mean, I haven't been to Turkey.
Same,
but,
I haven't either.
I was in Berlin, and that was on the first trip I ever did to Europe, and at that point Brian was way more well traveled than I, and he told me about this one doner kebab like stand.
Oh, doner kebabs are so good, dude.
Yeah, and he's like, you have to go here. He's like, and he was like, in Berlin, like you get like the two big things are currywursts, and he's
curry.
Like, but there's a huge Turkish population there, and he's like, so you have to go and get the doner kebab, and it was just so good.
I was with Rachel in Austin, Texas, and we were drunk one night. And again, you know, like I travel, so like night and I get these weird cravings. And I was like, dude, you know what I fucking want tonight is a doner kebab. And she was like, what are you talking about? And like we found like a doner kebab place in Austin, and she ate one. And she was like, holy shit, this is so good. Like,
yeah,
like this is like a whole new world for me, right? Like, yeah, it was great though. I'm a big
fan.
Yeah,
they have a couple of good doner kebab stands in Austin, right?
They
like
do
on 6th Street.
Yeah, man. Yeah. They definitely do.
Guilty pleasure food.
Ooh. Oreos.
Would it be the day after... Oh, Oreos? Okay, I was going to answer. I was going to be like, is it the day after Valentine's candy?
No, that I have no guilt about that.
Okay.
The day after Valentine's...
You know what, good for you, man. I wasn't saying that.
I feel bad for Rachel. I've actually, like, spoken to her deeply about this. I'm like, do you feel offended by this? But, like, I will specifically wait until, like, the night of Valentine's Day, and I go to the store when, like, all the candy's, like, 90% off.
Yeah.
And I'll come home with, like, all the big fucking hearts and, like, the Reese's that are shaped like heart. Like, every candy we can get. And I'm like, here, look, this was, you know, $70 9 hours ago, and now I paid $5 for it. Like, and we have all of the candy. So, like, I really enjoy the sale of it. I'm like, as long as you're not offended that I'm not buying you the candy before the holiday, I will buy you so much day after Valentine's Day candy.
No, because like, that's the whole... I mean, in the end, I think if a woman or a significant other was going to be offended by that, it's because usually it seems like you forgot and it's a last-minute thing. It's like, no, this is specifically...
Yes.
It is, you know, as as you want it to be, you know?
I've definitely taken her there, like, on Valentine's Day at, like, 8 as they're changing the tags. Like I've been like, come on, like, let's go. It's Valentine's
Day
night. It's
like your Black Friday.
Yeah. I'm just, like, sitting there just like, oh, yes. Like, so excited. I'll hit, like, 2 or 3 stores, like, 2 or 3 different... Oh, yeah, I love it, man.
You're a bargain shopper, sir. I commend you.
I am. Yeah, man. Gotta squeeze those pennies somehow, right?
Yeah, because then you get to... That's my whole thing. Like, I'm not a cheap guy, but I like, you know, like when I look for affordable things or, you know, deals and stuff like that, I'm like, yay, now I get to spend that elsewhere.
Exactly my point. Yep. I want to go eat a $400 dinner, but I don't want to spend $70 on Valentine's Day candy. You know what I mean? Like those things just don't balance to me, especially if it's going to be on sale in an hour. Like what the fuck does it matter?
Yeah, exactly. favorite condiment.
Ooh, so I'm pretty anti-condiment.
Ah, all right.
I was never a big condiment guy. I grew up in Pittsburgh. We had Heinz ketchup everywhere. I went to ketchup camp, like the
ketchup
Heinz
camp.
That's what we called it. It was like sponsored by Sarah, the Heinz, what's H.J. Heinz, Sarah J. Heinz Foundation. They had like instead of a Boys and Girls Club, they had like ketchup camp. Like they would do like a Boys and Girls Club and they would do a camp. And everything that we had there was, like, we obviously had, like, every Heinz food you can imagine at this camp, right? Because it was, like, catered by them.
Sure.
But if I had to pick a condiment, I think the two that I like the most are mustard and ranch dressing.
Oh, like a yellow or brown mustard, or does it depend?
Spicy brown. Always
spicy
brown.
Nice. There we go. I'm not a big yellow mustard guy.
No, me neither. It's like it's just a cop out. Like just go spicy brown, stone ground, or I mean like the beady one is fine by me. I like ground or either or, but yeah, spicy brown for sure.
And what are we using the ranch on?
Pizza.
Pizza, like a chicken bacon pizza, or does it?
No,
kind of
have
pizza?
You? We do this. You get pepperoni pizza.
Uh huh.
Take ranch dressing, you add Frank's Red Hot to the ranch, you mix it together, you dip it in that.
Whoa.
It's life-changing. I promise you.
Pepperoni pizza, Frank's, and ranch dip.
Yes. You adjust the Frank's to match the heat that you want in the ranch.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's usually like 2 parts, 1 part kind of deal. But that's,
I'll have to try it.
Dude, once you... In Pittsburgh, when you buy cuts of pizza, you can buy cups of ranch dressing next to the pizza. It's like a...
Really? Oh, that's like a... So it's a thing there.
It's like a very, very specific... Yeah, it's a thing. It's definitely in other places too, but if you go into a pizza shop, they'll have like, in the beverage fridge, they'll have like lines of like Jell-O shot cups full of ranch dressing, and you'd like buy a slice and then one of those, and you just like dip in that and you're good to go.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's the way to do it. But and the Red Hot is like a nice little extra touch that we like to do.
I like it.
Yeah.
What's the last thing you ate?
Rachel made beef stroganoff for dinner tonight.
Ooh, I haven't had beef stroganoff in a while.
It's getting a little chilly up here. We're getting into fall. Beef nice. Stroganoff. Yeah, it was fire too. She's really good.
What would be your last meal?
I don't know. I would have to go. It would either be like a guilty pleasure kind of like In-N-Out type fast food meal,
mm-hmm.
or it would be like a steak, like you know, like a really nice bone-in fillet, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would have to. It would be the mood that I was in on the day. It would go one extreme or the other. It would be like, you know, like the nicest steak dinner you could have with like, I want asparagus, sweet potato, mashed potatoes. I want, like, everything with it.
All the fixins, yeah.
All the fixins. Or In-N-Out Burger.
I like it. That's yeah. good. I like the difference. Dine in or dine out?
In.
In?
Always in, yeah. I much prefer sitting there. I feel like the ambience of the restaurant plays into it. And I also like my food really, really hot. So if I have to take it out, then... it loses some luster for me. I don't like eating out of containers either. I much prefer plates and real silverware. So in for me.
Gotcha. What would be your spirit food? Like what food, you know, best embodies your personality?
A food that it's barbecue sauce. 'Cause I'm only yeah. useful sometimes, but when I am, I'm really useful. It's like almost yeah. a necessity.
A bit tangy, but with some spice to it.
Yeah, it's like the full gambit of everything you could get in one bite. And like, depending on the day and where I'm coming from, like, it could be either really shitty or really good, depending on who made it. So I think that would embody me.
Barbecues. I think you're the first person that answered as a condiment, and you're a person that said you're not big on condiments.
I'm not. Barbecue sauce, like, it supersedes condiments for me. I'm thinking, like...
Sure, that is true. It's, you know, like, it
that's
is
a
weird
sauce.
That it's... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's a marinade.
For know? Sure, yeah.
Going to the movies, what kind of snack you having?
I'm gonna have a Bud Light... and a pack of Sour Patch Kids that Rachel snuck in her purse.
She didn't sneak the Bud Light or just the Sour Patch Kids?
Both. Oh, no, we do both.
Both,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we usually take like a sixer in her purse. Nice. I'm not even kidding, man. Yeah, that's how you do
we
it.
We got to hang out more.
I'm just telling you, Joey got really upset. When we were going to see Hobbs and Shaw, I was like, okay, like, Joey, like, do you want to grab the sixer for the movie, or am I going to do it? He's like, dude, we'll get thrown out. I was like, when have you ever been in a movie and been like, I think that guy behind me is drinking beer, I'm going to go tell them. And he was like, good point. I was like, yeah, dude, like, what the fuck, like, who yeah. the fuck does that? And also, but normally when he likes to sit, like, in the middle, kind of, you know, like, in the direct middle. I like to sit way in the back row. So, like, yeah. I'm cracking beers up there. Nobody gives a fuck, like.
Yeah, you're, as yeah. they say on How Did This Get Made, you're a balcony monster.
Yeah, know? Exactly. That's it. Yeah. Rachel gets mad. She said that I'm really bad at picking the moment of the movie to crack the beer, though. So we'll be, like, in, like, a dead silent movie, and it'll be like, like.
Yeah.
But, like, that's come funny. Find me. What are you going to do, throw me out, like. I'm yeah. 21. I'm not like a kid, so they're just gonna be like, "Don't do that." Like, okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, exactly. That's funny. And I mean, it sounds like you enjoy Bud Light, but at the same time, if you went to Fast and Furious, maybe you could bring Corona. And
like, that's what
on,
I said.
Man.
I was like, oh, we have to go find cans, and he's like, "What are you talking?" Like, I was like, "Yeah, well, bottles are gonna be harder to open, and like glass and stuff, you know. Like,
yeah,
drop it. Like, at least a can is fine."
I guess the best would be like any well, they make Bud Light in aluminum bottles. I feel like that would make the least noise and the best right?
Yeah, that would be the best combo. Yeah, no can pop, but also yeah. But yeah, I just go with whatever's in my fridge. Like I always have a 30, just because I always have a 30 in the house. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I'm like, these are, you know, you can grab six of them, throw them in your bag, go to the movies. Yeah.
And last but not least, what's the greatest lesson you've learned in food?
Don't be scared to try something. And yeah. that rings from both sides, like eating it and cooking something. Don't be scared to just give cooking something a shot. Like, even if you fuck it up, you're going to do it. Have a backup contingency plan, you know, keep a bag of pizza rolls in the freezer, but like, give it a shot anyways. Like,
yeah.
You know, try to make it. Maybe you'll make something you like, maybe you make something you don't, but like, as long as you're not going to be hungry that night, like, give it a shot, so.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't agree more. Like, definitely, you know, I mean, just try something, like, that's a pretty, you know, standard as far, you know, like, great rule for people. But
yeah,
for
true.
People that, but, no, but I mean, but it's still, I mean, it's, you know, what everyone should be doing. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? You know, just like, just. You
yeah,
know,
you're not going like, to die from trying a different food, so.
Yeah, and then but then I do, one of my favorite things is to, you know, go out to eat, and then I have something, I'm like, ooh, I'm going to try to cook that at home.
Exactly.
So.
And you learn something, you get some new spices, you need some new kitchen utensils. I like the whole play of it. Like, you know, we have, like, all these goofy utensils in my house. It'll be, like, Indian-style ladles, or, like, you know what I mean? Like, you start adding all of these things that you're like, this makes this easier, and then you have, like, a whole gambit of things that you need for every type of cuisine, too.
I love, like, I love kitchen culture in general, but I love, like, specific tools. Like, that's just one of my favorite, like, just, that's just something I nerd out on. I'm like, oh, that's
same.
What that does.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We have, like, I buy all of these, like, little things for Rachel whenever I can. I'm like, oh, like, I have a gnocchi roller, okay? And, like, that thing is just, like, you don't use it all the time, but when you go to make gnocchi, you're like, this is exactly what I need in this moment.
Yeah.
And I like the uber specific tools. Not the like multi-gadget ones, but like one that you're like, this does exactly what it needs to do right at this moment. So.
Yeah. I can't wait to have like my own place. I would love to just make like a custom like kitchen that every, you know, just like ultimate drawer and like cabinet space. And I just want, like, you know, like, the perfect, I want that, like, the cliche, like, the pots, like, hanging down. I just want everything to be pretty, like, except for the
yes.
stuff in the drawers, but there's enough drawer space, so that's, like, fine. And, like, everything's not, like, I have one drawer right now that everyone's just, everything's, like, tossed into, so it's just, like, you're searching for something sometimes.
It's the greatest thing that happened to us when we bought our house is, like, I have, like, ample kitchen space and, like, lots of counter space and,
awesome.
And places to put all of this kind of shit. And then, like, I go through and buy new things. Like, I bought Rachel a set of all-clad copper pots and pans. Like, I just got like drunk
Ooh.
And angry, and I was like, I'm fucking tossing all of our pots and pans and buying all clad ones. So like now we have like all of these sick, you know, all clad pans, and they're just like indestructible, and like this is the kind of shit that I love doing now that I have space for it in a house. So
awesome. I just saw yesterday there's like these limited edition, I forget what company, it's a really
La Crusette.
Yeah.
Yep. I saw them.
Yeah, and they have, like, it's all Star Wars ones, and they have, like, the Tatooine Sunset, like, Dutch oven that's, like,
yeah.
$900, and I'm like,
I
tweeted about it, and
so
I tagged
expensive.
Mark Hamill, and I said, Mark Hamill, I'm like, you know, something along the lines of, like, I know you got that Luke Skywalker money, I'll cook anything you want anytime, like, help me out.
Oh, the La Crusette ones are so good. I'm a big, like, pots and pans and kitchen shit nerd, so.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan.
Awesome. Well, Joe, too, you were just on Foodie Films. I'm glad we finally made it happen.
I'm glad we finally made it happen, too. I hope that worked out good for you, because I had a fun time, so.
It was just as the movie, it was delightful.
Good. I'm glad, man. Yeah, I had a blast.
I'm glad to hear that. Please right now, plug away. You're you know, part of so many shows, and just whatever you'd like to share
with the
fans out there.
If you want to hear me anymore, probably not, hopefully, maybe. You can find me at cageclub.me. You can check out our never-ending project of Too Fast, Too Forever, where we just bullshit a lot like this with the scope of Fast and the Furious movies in the background. But it's, you know, a lot of nonsensical bullshit. You can find our Facebook on facebook.com/TooFastTooForever. Find us on Twitter @TooFastTooForever. Send us a message anywhere there. You can always talk to us. And, yeah, that's pretty much it, man.
It's awesome. Yeah, love the shows. Thanks, brother. Love having you on. We have a little catchphrase that we end every episode with. It's, there's more to cut, so if you don't mind saying that to the listeners.
There's more to cut.
Yummy, 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 I got love in my tummy, and I feel like I'm loving you. Love you, such a sweet thing, good.